Fred Durst?
He's like Iggy.
Oh, you are sorely mistaken. I
play something from $3 Bill, y'all.
What is that?
That's the landmark Limp Bizkit album.
Limp Bizkit? Oh my God! I mean, they...
Wait, you don't agree that those are the most crucial grooves you've heard since Funkadelic?
What, Limp Bizkit grooves? Yeah, absolutely.
It's like the ultimate cross between Funkadelic and Rob Tyner.
Yeah, no, I don't agree at all.
Oh, you do not deserve a radio show.
CITR 101.9 FM, your crucial groove station.
It's just a lot of BS. A whole lot of BS. It's just a lot of BS. A whole lot of BS.
Rifflandia Festival is back for its sixth year with over 150 bands performing over 4 days across 14 stages in Victoria. See acts including Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, Big Boy, Death From Above 1979, Matt and Kim, and Stars. It's all happening Thursday, September 12th to Sunday, September 15th. For full event details, visit rifflandia.com.
Come sing me a song. Let the octave belong to the next.
I can feel it coming out. Drums!
Shoutback is an all-ages, anarcho-feminist, queer, anti-capitalist, DIY music festival for anyone who wants it or thinks they might want it.
A celebration in smashing patriarchy, showcasing artists who are underrepresented. Join us at various local venues from Thursday, August 22nd to Sunday, August 25th for a weekend of music, art, and workshops, creating an environment where we break systemic barriers, help foster conversations, and build relationships.
Let's break the binary and build a new space. One that is safe and inclusive, based on solidarity. Music for everyone.
Because we agree that patriarchy hurts everyone. Because we agree that music and noisemaking are a force for gender liberation.
Check out shoutbackfest.tumblr.com for more information.
See you there.
Monster Energy's Rock Allegiance Tour presents four bands from four countries, Sunday, September 8th at the Abbotsford Entertainment and Sports Center. Featuring Volbeat, Him, All That Remains, and Airborne. Get your tickets to see these four game-changing rock bands now at the Whatcom Private Liquor Store, Abbotsford Recreation Center, the Matsqui Recreation Center, and online at abbotsfordcenter.ca. Or call 1-866-977-2372. That's 1-866-977-2372.
Aloha, world. I'm sure you've heard Aloha Dave saying hi here and there for the last couple of weeks, and they've given me the opportunity to do a show today. I'm totally unprepared, but we'll see what we can cook up. I'd like to start the show off with a little song called The Leisure Generation, in case nobody's ever heard it before, then you probably never have. So let's just cue it up and see what we can do. Da-da-da, da-da-da.
You can dance. Every dance with the guy who gave you the eye, let him hold you tight. You can smile, every smile for the man who held your hand beneath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. Oh, I know. That the music's fine, like sparkling wine. Go and have your fun. Laugh and sing. But while we're apart, don't give your heart to anyone. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. Baby, don't you know I love you so? Can't you feel it when we touch? I will never let you go. I love you so much. You can dance, go and carry on till the night is gone. If he asks if you're all alone, can he take you home? You must tell him no. Cause don't forget who's taking you home and whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. Don't save the last dance for me.
And of course, it ain't easy being green. I had the wrong song queued up right off the start, but let's just try that all over again and see if we can get this leisure generation up here. This is a song I heard way back in the 70s, actually, probably one of the first songs ever that said the word skateboard in it. But we'd have to check with R&D to see what that's all about. Well, let's just give it a try here.
I'm a part of the leisure generation with time to play guitars. Time to ride skateboards, time to study stars. You see, I took this course in higher mathematics, and now I do this gig for 4 hours every week. Me and my friendly big computer would sit and calculate the weight of this earth in relation to the rest of space. I'm so specialized, I'm the only one in the entire human race that can do what I do. And that's why I am part of a leisure generation with time to play guitars, time to ride skateboards, and time to study stars. Go to bed in China or the land of the like to go for a great fat at the planetarium. In my dreams, in my
And of course, that was the entire West Coast singing one of his theme songs. In case people are wondering who I am and what I'm doing, I have a number of personas. The real name is Brown David Alexander. And there's a 10,000 David Browns, apparently, according to Revenue Canada, that pay taxes in this country. So I get confused with a lot of people a lot of times. So when I do get on stage, I try to have different personas and do different things like that. And I know how to ride a surfboard. I learned way back in 1972. And, I guess I should mention, I recently turned 65 and I'm retired. So I try to do a stress-free day every day and try and line up with a perfect retirement day. Of course, I'm totally stressed here at the station, not putting together a show while we're on the air. One of the things I did a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I was down at the Maritime Festival at Richmond and saw this lady play a musical instrument that I'd never seen before. And I'd like to play some of those songs that I recorded from the show that she did. Just to show you that we'll have some eclectic news and some eclectic music, and you just never know what's in for the surprise when you listen to Aloha Dave's show. So where can we go here? Let's see what we've got here. It's called the Chinese Fiddle, also known as the Ardu.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd ever heard the Chinese fiddle or the ardu being played before. So I went up and talked to her after the show, and she agreed to do an interview. And I'd like to play the interview for you right now. As soon as I can find it, where'd that interview go? As you can see, I'm a little nervous here on my first show, but I guess the show must go on. We'll wing it, see what we can do here. And, well, let's just give it a try.
What's this par called?
What's that?
This par.
What's part of your body is that? Your thigh.
Huh?
Your thigh?
Thigh?
Your leg.
Leg.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why? Okay. Here, give it a try here. Aloha, world. We're here at the Barnett Hall in the Department of Music at UBC's beautiful Point Grey campus. Today we'll be interviewing Nicole Lee, a virtuoso of the Chinese musical instrument, the arhu. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. A little background first. Last Saturday, I was at the Maritime Festival in Steveston to view the tall ship Lady Washington. That was the ship on Johnny Depp's Pirates of the Caribbean. Arriving late and with a 45-minute lineup to board for a guided tour, I wandered over to YVR's outdoor stage and caught Nicole's Galloping Horses. Unfortunately, her last song of the set. I was stunned. I walked up to the stage and asked her what the instrument was called. She said it was an arhu, an ancient Chinese instrument, also called a Chinese fiddle. I introduced myself as an intern at CITR, UBC's campus radio station. She offered that she would be performing the next day at 11:45 if I wished to hear her play. Of course I did. I went and saw her set. She played solo with some recorded accompaniment, introduced an 8-year-old girl who played Red River Valley and Oh Susanna, played a duet with another arhu player, and finished once again with Galloping Horses. This time I asked if she would do an interview for CITR, UBC's campus radio, and she agreed. Fortunately for both of us, she said she would be here at UBC today for a rehearsal. She gave me her card with her website, etc., and I checked it out, dude. Once again, I was stunned. She had played here before with Dr. Corey Ham, one of our eminent concert pianists and associate professors. She just finished rehearsing with Dr. Ham, which brings us up to today. Right now, I'm pleased to introduce and welcome to CITR, Nicole Lee. Aloha, Nicole, and welcome.
Aloha, David, and hello, everyone.
Could you tell us something about this instrument and how you came to play it?
You did a good job. It's called arhu, yes.
I'm pronouncing it properly?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Really good. So it's spelled E-R-H-U, arhu.
Okay.
It's two distinct words. In Chinese character, actually, it's R and Hu. It's R means two in Chinese. It means two, actually.
Okay.
So that means the arhu has two strings.
I noticed, two strings.
Yeah. Hu actually is a word to describe this instrument. It's Hu Qin family. So arhu is one of the Hu Qin family.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. And the little drum that's like a banjo, or the body that the part that does the makes the sound, it has python skin or something on it?
Yes, yes. So the arhu has two strings and a bow. That's why it's in some country they call it Chinese violin or Chinese fiddle.
Yes.
They're all bow instruments. But the difference is actually the bow is played between those two strings. It's not like violin, I can pull it out.
Oh, I see.
So I can never lose my bow.
Interesting.
Yeah, and the arhu has a long and slim body, a neck, actually slim neck, and a small body that with a hollow inside.
Ah, yes.
And it is the resonator of the arhu.
The resonator, that's what I was trying to think of. Yes,
the resonator. And the hollow is a side mounted by python skin.
Ah, that was pretty intriguing itself.
Yes, so because this python skin, arhu has such a lyrical and warm sound.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to express the human voice. That's its main character.
Oh, excellent. How old is this instrument?
This instrument has been exist, I think, 1,000 years.
1,000 years?
Yeah, but the one I have is only 5 or 6 years old.
Oh, it's brand new.
It's brand new. It's quite new.
Basically.
Basically. And the arhu you saw in the festival is the typical common one that most arhu players use right now.
I see.
Yeah.
And you had some other people playing with you. They're students at your school?
They're all my students. So I brought 2 students with me the weekend. One is a little girl.
That was fascinating.
Yes. I actually studied the arhu at her age.
Oh, you did?
Like 6.5 years old. And that's how we trained from very young. I've been playing this instrument for 21 years already. And I spent 16 years at school to study this.
16 years at school?
Yeah.
Amazing. Where did you go to school?
The university I went to is Shanghai Conservatory of Music.
Oh, the Shanghai Conservatory of Music.
I went there for 4 years and for an arhu bachelor degree.
A bachelor's degree in arhu music.
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Can one get a bachelor's degree in UBC at the arhu instrument? Not yet.
I really want. I wish they have this degree and then I can continue study, maybe master, but they don't have.
Is there any place in North America that has arhu classes besides your school?
Of course, we have a lot of arhu players.
Oh yeah.
Or other Chinese instruments musician immigrant to North America. Or in Canada, Vancouver, and we have to leave, right? So we, like me, I'm running a school, my own studio, to teach.
Excellent.
And the same as me, we have many other players do that too. They have their own courses, of course.
And how long have you lived here in Vancouver?
5 years.
For 5 years?
For 5 years.
Oh, yeah. And I looked at the concert calendar for the Roy Barnett Hall for 2013 and 2014.
Oh, yes.
And you'll be playing twice with Dr. Ham?
Oh, yeah. That's we have a project that's called Piano and Arhu Project.
Oh, yeah.
PEP.
Oh, tell us about
that's
that.
PEP. So, Corey and I are commissioning over 40 composers from Canada and China. Just to write new works, completely new works for piano and the arhu. And so for the beginning, we just had this idea because we had a concert together. We feel good about these 2 instruments. And we start to ask composers. And it's been 1.5 year now, and the composers are really got interested to this project, and they're willing to do it with us, and actually we're working good. we have two following concerts going on. It's on schedule already. And
oh, excellent.
Yeah. We're so excited. So we just did this rehearsal this morning. We already got like eight new pieces for rehearsing for this summer.
Oh, excellent.
And by December 6th, by the concert day, hopefully we will perform 10 to 15 pieces for audience.
Well, I'll definitely be here. How long have you known Dr. Ham? How did you meet Dr. Ham?
I've been know him for almost 4 years. So the first time we met, it's because another project, it's also a commission project between Canada and China.
Oh yeah.
So he was one of the members in UBC, which is music chamber music in UBC.
Oh.
It's a group, and I'm one of the members in BC Chinese Music Ensemble.
I
so
see.
So we combine together mixed Western and Chinese instrument with commissioning six pieces. So three Canadian pieces, three Chinese pieces. We had a concert. So that's the first project we worked together.
And is this concert also in Shanghai?
No, it's in here, in Vancouver.
Just here in Vancouver.
And actually it's in UBC. Hall.
Oh, lucky us at UBC.
Yes.
What are your career plans?
Career plans.
I see you have a CD.
Yes. Actually, my career plans is to spread or to let people know. Let the Western people know. Of course, Chinese people know what is Erhu, but in Canada, since I'm in Canada, I am so lucky to be here, and I want to showcase this Asian instrument, and I want more people to know the beautiful sound of it. That's my goal, and of course, a lot of works like doing concerts, recordings, and like the festivals you went to. So that's just a very, very small steps towards the goal that I will let more people know this instrument. And also the big project for me with Corey Ham, it's a big part of my career right now.
Well, we're so happy that you're out here at UBC. And I'm looking forward to the concert that you and Dr. Ham will be playing.
Yeah.
do you have anything further you'd like to say about the Erhu and Dr. Ham or anything like that? Do you have a yacht?
Yacht? No.
No? Would
Can
you
I
like
have
a yacht?
I like a yacht. I would like to have a yacht.
We'll see what we can do. Do you have plans for dinner tonight?
Nah.
Well, we'll see what we can do. Do you ride a snowboard?
Oh, yeah. I really like snowboard, but I tried ski once. And, what's it called? Mountain cow? It's besides the gross one. Cypress.
Which mountain?
Cypress.
Where's that?
It's close to the Gross Mountain.
Oh, I see. Oh, Seymour.
I think so.
Or Cyprus.
Oh, Cyprus.
Oh, yes. That's where the Olympics were.
Yeah. I went to Cyprus once, and I felt I start to ski or snowboard too old, you know? If I was really young, I was really good at it. But I'm quite big already. It's hard to me.
Do you ride a surfboard?
I wish, no.
No, not yet.
Not yet. I love it. It's so cool.
What do you do to relax? Describe a perfect day for you to take a day off and relax. What would you like to do?
The perfect day needs to be a sunny day.
Yes, a sunny day.
A sunny day.
Well, welcome to Vancouver.
Yes. no.
We have sun 2 weeks of the year, honest.
Yes, so...
Just kidding.
That's what makes it more treasure. Right? Okay, so I like sunny day. I don't mind hot. And walking around. I love listening music, but because I'm playing music already.
What kind of music do you listen to when you listen to music? All kinds of.
All kinds of.
Okay.
Well, more classical, or mostly sometimes rock and roll.
Oh yeah, and rock and roll.
Yeah, and jazz.
And jazz, yeah. And blues.
Blues, yeah.
Would you like to be our Shanghai foreign correspondent? And tell us, it's UBC, about is there any jazz clubs in Shanghai? Or blues clubs and folk clubs or rock and roll clubs?
No problem, definitely.
Oh, excellent.
I'd love to do that.
Well, we'd love to have you be our correspondent. You could tell us about concerts and festivals and different things going on in Shanghai.
Yeah, there are a lot, so...
I have one more question for you. If you ran the world, what would be the number one thing that you'd do first?
What? Raw?
If you had the opportunity to run the world for a day, what would you do?
Oh, run the world.
Yes.
Wow, that's a big question.
Oh, I know. I didn't mean to give you a trick question, but oh. Maybe you can think about it till next time we do an interview. I'd love to do an interview with you again. Would you like to do that?
Sure. I'll give you the answer next time then.
Okay, well, I'll be looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to say for this interview?
I want to wish you and everyone a good day, sunny day, more sunny day in Vancouver, and please pay more attention on Chinese music in Vancouver.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Well, there you go. A little interview with Nicole Lee. I'd like to get back to some of her music in a little bit, but first of all, I'd like to play a little Diana Krall, one of our neighbors, I guess. When we look out our window, we can actually see Nanaimo across the Georgia Strait. And let's see what we can do with a little laid-back jazz from. Diana Krall.
It's wonderful, it's marvelous. You should care for me. It's awfully nice. It's paradise. It's what I love to see. You made my life so glamorous. You can't blame me for feeling amorous. Oh, it's wonderful, marvelous that you should care for me. Wonderful, it's marvelous that you should care for me. It's awful nice, it's paradise, it's what I love to see. My leaf clover time.
that you should care for me.
Thank you, Diana. I'd like to play you another tune from the other fellow with the strange instrument. Let's see what we can come up with this time. Thank you. Of course, you're listening to CITR.ca. If there's anybody out there in Byron Bay that could give us a call, I wouldn't mind a current surf report and weather report from Byron Bay. I know there's a lot of Canadians down there and that you like to listen to your home station when you're that far away from home. So don't hesitate. Give us a call. We're on Skype and all that stuff. We'd like to do a little change of pace once again and play a little song from a little Whistler band for you, Brother Twang. I'm sure you've heard of him if you've ever been to Whistler before. And it's a little instrumental, and I'd give you a little news from Whistler while we're playing some music.
Thank you.
And I was at the AMS meeting the other day, and they were discussing the Whistler Lodge. The fate of the Whistler Lodge is up for grabs right now. They're talking about tearing it down and maybe rebuilding. And they're talking about selling the whole thing, which of course is a terrible idea. Some greedhead real estate developer would love to get their hands on that property. But since it belongs to us, the students of UBC, I think we had a 60% vote to keep it and a 40% vote to sell it. So that's the good news from the AMS meeting. We are keeping the Whistler Lodge. What we do with it is still up for debate. If you have any good suggestions, don't hesitate to call CITR.ca, your planetary radio station, and express your opinion. Instrumental music from Whistler, and a special hello to all my snowboarding buddies up there. Do tell me when the first snow happens. We'll all be up there ASAP. And I'd like to play that our Who instrument again with the Galloping Horses song. I found got it all queued up, which is why I stopped to talk to Nicole in the first place. I came from the ship and heard her playing this. It was like being in an Appalachian barn dance with a Chinese instrument. I was pretty impressed with what I heard. So this is what I heard that got my attention.
The last one I will play, a powerful piece, is called Galloping War Horses. Thank you. Nicole-Lee.com. We have CD available right now. Okay, see you later.
Oh my, how time flies when you're having fun. It looks like we've made it through our first It Ain't Easy Being Green show. And we're going to be bringing Brian in pretty soon to do Scald's Hall. And I'd like to thank you for letting me do this, and I'm hoping to get a little smoother next time. In the meantime, I'd like to close with a little song for my hot rod buddies up in Penticton, especially for you, Randy and Jim. Thank you for fixing my car. Got room for me and my surfboard in tow.
ride your tire. Well, you should see her glow. Ultraviolet rays from the moon in the sky make certain phosphorescence tickle your eyes. My California custom cherry, baby of mine.
Are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. It is 1 p.m. here on a Friday afternoon in beautiful Vancouver, and it is time for Skald's Hall. I am your host, Brian McDonald, and as many of my regular listeners will already be aware, last week I was sent on behalf of CITR 101.9 FM to cover Anime Revolution, which was a very significant and very fun time celebrating the culture of anime and manga and several other things here in the Lower Mainland. And it was held at the Vancouver Convention Center. And coming up later in the show, I'm going to give a bit of a general retrospective on what it was like there, how it went down. But first, we're going to take a listen to some of the interviews that I recorded, because those people who showed up there, we were very lucky to be able to talk to them, and we managed to get some interviews. And so our first guest, you may know him as... from the Black Lagoon. He was Dutch in the Black Lagoon. He is also in the Avengers animated series, Dean Redman, and we have an interview with him coming up right now at CITR 101.9 FM. You are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Skald's Hall, and we are here with our special guest, Dean Redman. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thank you very much for coming by. Tell us a little bit about how you got started as a performer.
I first started in the film industry as a stuntman. Then I ended up getting a few lines with the stunt roles that I was performing. And I really enjoyed how complex things began to become once I started having a lot of lines while I was acting. And then later on, I remember I'd been told a few times, oh, you have a really deep voice or a smooth, silky voice or a raspy, husky voice. And I spoke to my agent, and he said, yes, you do. From there, he sent me out for some voice auditions, and I ended up booking Black Lagoon. And from there, it's just been very, very neat. I've been doing a lot of interesting things and learned a lot over the few years. I've really got to give a lot of respect to the people at Ocean Studios, Coco Studios, Voice Box, those three. They really have welcomed me back again and again and again. So it's been wonderful.
So you went from being a physical performer,
right,
to doing voice.
Yes.
Did you have any other prior training or experience doing voice work before you contacted your agent?
No, other than just communicating with other humans.
Which is the essence of it, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. When you go in to do a recording session, can you tell us a little bit about what your work day is like?
They're very specific about getting this script to you and that you are not to show it or to leak any information to anybody else, which I totally understand. Just basically getting by myself and just focusing on the script. And once I get in there, be voice ready and ready to not ever have myself stuck on one way to project a voice, because you never know what they're going to ask you to do. You know, it could be, oh, that was great, Dean. Okay, but now can you do that a little louder but with more, less of a evil tone? But you have to know what you're doing, but have your mind open, very open as well. Get into the studio and, you know, take the change out of your pockets, obviously. Turn that cell phone off. Take that battery out if you have to. Just, you know, pay attention. It's a much more relaxed environment than it is in front of the camera. Not to say that it is any less important. I just don't have to have my suit looking sharp. Or, you know, if I get to comb my hair that day, if I forget to comb my hair that day, that's fine too. But that hasn't happened yet.
When you're preparing a character for an audition,
yes,
do you have a process that you typically go through?
For any character that I'm preparing for, I read the script as much as I can. And I basically look at it as I'm decoding a crime, so to speak, or figuring out, well, why would my character say that? What way would he say that? Who is he speaking to? How does he feel about that person? You know, if you're speaking to one person, as I am to you, I'm speaking in this voice here. But if there were 15 people in this room with us, I would have to protect my voice a little more. So it's just basically what, like,